Alice Ball's grandfather, James, bent over with a grunt as he screwed a red bulb into a lamp. The dark room is suddenly illuminated in a ruby glow. Alice looked around at the tray of chemicals and the metal plates for developing photographs. She's excited to learn what her grandfather had been teaching her. As James pulls Alice in for a closer look, he wonders what her future might hold.
Brains of the people are more interesting than the looks, I think.
Electric power is everywhere present in a limited quantity.
Jane, if you really want something, and you work hard, and you take advantage of opportunity, and you never give up.
You're listening to Human Angle, a podcast that focuses on the hidden lives of scientists, asking what makes them human. I'm your co-host, Kenna Castleberry, here with my lovely co-host, Kim Castleberry.
Thank you, Kenna, and thank you to all of our lovely listeners. We're so grateful to have you as part of our show, letting us do what we love. For new listeners, you can find our podcast on all your favorite platforms, including Spotify, Google Podcast, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other places. Be sure to like and subscribe and share with your friends and family.
In this episode, we're talking about Alice Ball, an African-American chemist who developed an injectable oil extract that was the most effective treatment for leprosy until the 1940s. She was the first woman and first African-American to receive a master's degree from the University of Hawaii, and she was also the first female chemistry professor at the university. Research from this episode comes from several online articles.
And with that, it's time to get started. Alice Augusta Ball was born on July 24, 1892 in Seattle, Washington, to Laura, a photographer, and James P. Ball Jr., a lawyer. She was the middle child with two older brothers, Robert and William, and a younger sister, Addie. James P. Ball Sr. was a well-known photographer and was among the first to practice daguerreotype photography, a process of printing photographs on metal plates. Some researchers have suggested that her parents and grandfather's love for photography may have played a role in her love for chemistry, as they worked with mercury vapors and iodine-sensitized silver plates to develop photographs. Ball's family was middle class and well off. As Ball's father was a newspaper editor of the Colored Citizen, a photographer, and a lawyer. Despite being prominent members and advocates of the African American community, both of Ball's parents are listed as white on her birth certificate. This may have been an attempt to reduce the prejudice and racism their daughter would face and help her pass as white society. Alice Ball and her family moved from Seattle to Honolulu in 1903 in hopes the warmer weather would relieve her grandfather's arthritis. He died shortly after they moved, and in 1905 they relocated back to Seattle after only a year in Hawaii. After returning to Seattle, Ball attended Seattle High School and achieved top grades in the sciences. She graduated from Seattle High in 1910. Ball studied chemistry at the University of Washington. While she was at the university, she earned a bachelor's degree in pharmaceutical chemistry, and 2 years later, she received a second degree in pharmacy. With her pharmacy instructor, she published a 10-page article in the prestigious Journal of the American Chemical Society. This kind of accomplishment was very rare, not only for African-American women, but women of any race. After graduating, Ball was offered many scholarships. She received an offer from the University of California, Berkeley, as well as the College of Hawaii, now the University of Hawaii, where she decided to study for a master's degree in chemistry.
Well, I was going to say, like, I think it's no-brainer that anybody would want to go study in Hawaii. Like, it's probably really nice.
Well, Berkeley, I think, is by the coast, too.
That's true. But there's a lot of really nice colleges that are on the coast. Yeah. But Hawaii sounds quite pleasant.
Yes, it does.
At the College of Hawaii, her master's thesis involves studying the chemical properties of the kava plant species. Because of this research and her understanding of the chemical makeup of the plants, she was later approached by Harry T. Holman, who was an acting assistant surgeon at the Leprosy Investigation Station of the U.S. Public Health Service in Hawaii, to study Chalmugra oil and its chemical properties. Chalmugra oil has been the best treatment available for leprosy for hundreds of years, and Ball developed a much more effective injectable form. Chalmugra oil was first used as a topical straight from the tree in Eastern medicine starting back in the 1300s. However, it was originally too sticky to be used effectively as a topical treatment, and it was extremely painful to be used as an injection. However, some hospitals still attempted to use it as an injection, even though the sticky consistency of the oil caused it to clump under the skin and form blisters. Oh God, that's really bad.
Yeah.
These blisters formed in perfect rows and made the skin look as if the patient's skin had been replaced with bubble wrap. Oh.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. It makes sense why they would need to find a cure. Mm-hmm. Good. Ingesting the oil was not effective either because it had an acrid taste that usually made the patients vomit upon attempting to swallow it.
Oh, boy.
Whew. Okay. This is the world that Alice Ball joins us in. At the time, leprosy, or Hansen's disease, was a highly stigmatized disease with virtually no chance of recovery. People diagnosed with leprosy were exiled to the Hawaiian island of Molokai with the expectation that they would die there. Oh, that's so depressing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that makes sense. I mean, people were afraid that they would catch it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. That was a private island forever.
I'm sure.
And in fact, I'd have to look this up. It still may be. Or okay. Parts of it.
Yeah. It sounds like parts of it were also a leper colony.
Mm-hmm.
At just the young age of 23, Ball developed a technique that would allow the oil from Chalmugra tree seeds to become injectable and absorbable by the body. Her newly developed technique involved isolating ethyl ester compounds from the fatty acids of the Chalmugra oil. This isolation technique, now known as the Ball method, was the only treatment for Hansen's disease that was effective and, quote, left no abscesses or bitter taste, end quote. In 1915, she became the first woman and first Black American to graduate with a master's degree from the College of Hawaii. She was also the first African American research chemist and instructor in the College of Hawaii's chemistry department.
Go, Alice.
Unfortunately, her success was not to last very long. Alice Augusta Ball died on December 31st, 1916, at the age of 24.
Oh, goodness.
She had become ill during her research and returned to Seattle for treatment a few months before her death. A 1917 newspaper article from the Pacific Commercial Advertiser suggested that the cause may have been chlorine poisoning due to exposure that occurred while teaching a laboratory. It was reported that Ball was giving a demonstration on how to properly use a gas mask in preparation for an attack since World War I was raging in Europe. However, the cause of her death is unknown as her original death certificate was altered, giving the cause of death as tuberculosis.
Oh, wow. Boy, that's a mystery.
Well, and she's so young. Mm-hmm. Literally just a year later from getting her master's
degree. But if they say it was chlorine?
Poisoning?
Yeah. I mean, chlorine is horrific to your body, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't recover.
It's a toxic gas.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. I wonder if maybe there was like an accident or something. It sounds like there might have been.
Okay, sleuth.
I'm sure somebody knows.
There may be more to this story.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody knows. Unfortunately, due to her untimely death, Alice was unable to publish her revolutionary findings on the Ball method. Arthur L. Dean, a chemist and the president of the University of Hawaii, continued her work, published the findings, and began producing large quantities of the injectable Chalmugra extract. Dean published the findings without giving any credit to Ball and renamed the technique the Dean method. Wow. Humble much? Until Alice's old research partner Holman spoke out about this. He published a paper in 1922 giving credit to Ball, calling the injectable form of the oil the Ball method. Unfortunately, Alice still remained forgotten in the scientific record. In the 1970s, Catherine Takara and Stanley Ali, professors at the University of Hawaii, searched the archives to find Ball's research. After numerous decades, they were able to bring her efforts and achievements to light, giving her the credit that she earned. Alice Ball's work directly impacted the 8,000 people that were diagnosed with leprosy and taken out of their homes in Hawaii. Because of her research, patients were no longer exiled to Molokai. Instead, they were able to be treated out of their own homes. Families no longer had to hold funerals for their loved ones before they were exiled because there was no cure. And they had Alice Ball to thank for this. On the 29th of February 2000, a plaque with Alice's name was placed at the base of the Chelmungra tree at the University of Hawaii, in a ceremony that was attended by several people who had once lived in isolation at Molokai. Maisie Hirono, then the Lieutenant Governor of Hawaii, also declared it to be Alice Ball Day on February 29th, which is celebrated every 4 years on that date. Since then, the University of Hawaii has honored Ball with the Regents Medal of Distinction. Her name is also inscribed on the frieze of the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, alongside people like Florence Nightingale and Marie Curie. There has even been a short film about her life called The Ball Method.
Nice. Nice to see that.
Yeah, in the end, she finally got the credit she deserved. Mm-hmm. It really shows, though, that if you die unexpectedly, you can really be, you know, screwed over by people, which is really sad. Just another reason not to die.
Especially in the sciences, right?
That's fair. Oh, gosh. I felt so bad researching the story for her research partner because, you know, he's, like, working with her. She dies. Then the president of the university comes in and is like, oh, well, now it's my method. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, I get all the credit. And he's, oh, yeah, it just made me so sad. So I'm very, very glad that people were able to dig into the archives and to find her story and to bring all her work to light.
Yeah.
And again, to die at 24 years old, that's so tragic.
Yeah, but look how many people she helped.
Right? I know, I mean, yeah.
Going back to, right, a calling, I think.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for listening to our episode on Alice Ball. Stay tuned for our next episode on Bertha Parker, a Native American archaeologist who proved that man and beast coexisted in history. Mm. Bigfoot?